trust him and be still. So Lord, he is God. Amen. We will head into the scriptures tonight. Feel free to stand. So don't want to wear out a particular scripture, and I don't think you can do that, but we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. I've used this twice in the last several weeks. But the Lord keeps bringing me back to that. Says, okay?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 6, 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in, and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Lord, pray just for a moment. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, I know, Lord, that we are few in number tonight, but Lord, you walked up Calvary for each and every one of us. And Lord, I believe that if there was only one in this world that Lord needed to be redeemed or could be redeemed, you would have still walked up Calvary for that one. But Lord, we know that you're here tonight. We're here gathered in your name. And we ask God that you break the bread of life to your children. These are your sheep, Lord. I don't lay claim on them. I just want to operate in the capacity that you have made me to be. And so, Lord, I'm just looking to you that you would just touch the hearts of your people tonight. Pray that you go to those that are missing tonight. Lord, that you bless them also. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The title of this tonight is The Temple of God. And so, you know, I just to kind of comment on a few things I said the other day and maybe repeat them, but when the scripture said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because, you know, we are believers. How many believers we have?
Amen.
So I said the other day, because he says to don't be unequally yoked, and because if you yoke yourself up with unbelievers, you will be unequal, right? So Paul is saying here that's very, very clear here. It's not, you know, you might be or whatever. He's very clear that if you as a believer yoke up with someone who is an unbeliever, it will be unequal because you're different people. You're
right.
Going to be a different type. And so don't get tied up. You know, to be yoked with something, you know, when you take a couple of cows or horses or whatever it is that you want to pull a wagon or plow or whatever, you know, and they put this thing on them and they're tied. Now you're tied with this other animal or whatever. The two of them are together. And so when you're yoked up, you know, I think that you're in a position where you're supposed to be walking together and so forth.
Right.
And you can't get away from it, right? You're yoked. You can't easily walk away from that. And so Paul is telling us here not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because you would be unequal because you're different. And so this speaks very clearly. You know, I mean, the more you read the Bible and the more you go, the more you realize that the truth of the gospel is everywhere. And this speaks very clearly that a real Christian, there's something different about a real Christian than the rest of the world. And there it's totally different. And it speaks of a new birth. It speaks of a new creature, as we know the scripture said. And so, first off, he's saying here, there is no fellowship between those things. You know, he lists all that. Can light have fellowship with darkness? Absolutely not. Right? There's no way that darkness and light can fellowship together. And he lists all the different things there. And so, first, he's telling us here, there is no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness, between darkness and light, and so forth. A believer with an infidel. There is no fellowship there. And the reason why, because true fellowship, I want you to think about this, true fellowship is not something on the surface. Right. True fellowship, if you take people who can truly fellowship, it's because they have something in common down deeper. Yeah. Right? Anybody can rub shoulders with somebody and just on the outward, on the surface, kind of, you know, talk or whatever. But true fellowship, like Brother Branham talked about, Brother Bosworth said, you know what fellowship is? And Brother Branham said, well, I think I know what it is. He said, it's two fellows in one ship. Right? Kind of funny. Sounds like a dumb dad joke, right? But there was something more to that. There are two fellows in one ship paddling the same direction. Right. That's the key. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk about the scriptures talking about Enoch walked with God. If everybody in that day walked with God, it wouldn't have meant nothing to say that. Right. Enoch walked with God when there wasn't anybody else doing it. Yeah. And it mattered. It made a difference in that day. And when the scripture said he walked with God, that's not like, you know, just for a moment. To walk with someone is to travel for a while, is to go with them. And you can't go with them if you're going in different directions. Yeah. Right? And so you understand. So he's telling us this here. And so fellowship has to be on a deeper basis, and therefore to have true fellowship, you have to have that deeper something in common, right, or else you can't truly fellowship. And so so if you're walking with someone who is different than you, someone who's down in the core, they're a different being, because remember, you have a new birth. You are a different creature now, right? You're different than what you used to be, and the world is still have that first nature, but you've been born again, and so there's a difference there, a different nature there. And if you were to walk together with them in that core nature there, there'd be a compromise somewhere. Because you can't walk very long with someone if you don't agree with them.
Right.
It just won't work. I've said it many times, especially around marriage topic, that it takes a tremendous amount of grace for any two people to dwell together for very long, period. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's your own flesh brother or whatever. It takes, for two people who are going to dwell together for very long, there has to be something special going on to make that happen. If they're walking together in peace, in peaceful. And so, if you walk together, there'd have to be a compromise somewhere. And so, because you might pretend, well, yeah, we agree and we get along and we think the same way, but if you're truly not the same as them, sooner or later, that nature's going to come out. That person that you're trying to fellowship with is still in the world. Sooner or later, there's going to be a conflict there because you... It can't be, right? It's different birds of a different feather, and it just won't work. And that's part of the gospel. Because he has separated us from the world. There is a difference. God does not want us trying to fellowship with the world.
Right.
He wants us to have a testimony, but he doesn't want us to try and be yoked together with unbelievers. And by the way, you know, they use that in marriage, and that's true. Don't be marrying somebody that's not a believer, right? Don't do it. Because you're yoking yourself up with an unbeliever or someone that's different. And so that true nature eventually will come out and there'll be a conflict. And so Paul is telling us this, you know, that there's just no fellowship between unbelievers and believers. And so the second thing there that I want to point out that is that if you're fellowshipping with unbelievers, then there is going to be a negative influence happening on the believer. Brother Ram said this, and you probably heard this. He said, you take a good woman and a bad man, or vice versa, and the good woman will either make the man good, or the man will make the woman bad. That's what he said, right? Because it's just that way when you hang out with someone, you know. I heard parents say this, and you know that your kids, they come in and they start acting like somebody they've been hanging around with, yeah, right? Because there's an influence there. And so when Paul is saying this, and when God says, you know, separate yourself, there's a reason why.
Right.
We want to make sure that we observe that. And so there would be a negative influence. And you know, today, influence is a little bit different than, or I say different, it's the same, but it's a greater magnitude today than it was. Because, you know, 300 years ago, the only people that would influence your life was those that you actually met and you actually talked with, rubbed shoulders with, and perhaps you might read a book that had been written somewhere, that there might have been a few of those around, which there probably was, but you understand there was a rather limited amount of influence that people could have on one another because you had, you know, you had. But today you've got TV, you got magazines, you got music, you got social media, and all of that is an influence.
Right.
All of that's an influence for people from all over the world and all kinds of things. And so everything you interact with is an influence. Satan absolutely trying to be an influence.
Yeah.
And so all those things are there. And so you can get influenced from so many more ways now than you ever could 200 years ago or even 100 years ago. Because of the social media and all the things that has developed that only could come in this last hour where everything exploded, like we talked here a while back. So an hour where Satan, where it's been permitted for him to have Satan, this evil age. And then in the midst of that evil age, God's going to call a bride to prove and show who she is. And so you have all those things. And so really, put it this way. So any success that Satan had around the world in any life out there, right? Because Satan's working on all of them, every person on this planet, right? And any success that he gets in any person's life to make them live according to his dictates, and then they share that, it's in magazines, it's in TV, it's through social media, and guess what? It's brought right to your doorstep. So any successful move that Satan has had all over the world comes right to your feet, right, in today. It used to be that if somebody rose up with a crazy idea, it might take years for that idea to propagate around the world,
yeah,
or even across the nation. But now it can do it in literally minutes. Something can go viral, right? The next thing you know, everybody's talking about it. And they talk about it for weeks. It becomes something that is ingrained in society, and everybody remembers that meme. Right? So we live in a world, so influence, when he says, you cannot have fellowship with unrighteousness because of the influence and because of that. And look at all the magnified ways that these influences come now. It's a lot different now. And so, you know, I think about next to the last church age. And he told them, he said, I will keep you. I will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come on the face of the earth. And so think about it. If that's the next to the last church age, and he tells them, you're not going to experience this hour of temptation that's going to come on the earth, when is it going to come? If it hadn't already happened, and they're not going to see it, it has to be in the last age. And so we are living in this hour, a great hour of temptation. And just like I mentioned a while ago when Brother Graham said, why would God try to call a bride out of the evil age? He said, this is the only time it was called the evil age, right?
Yeah.
So why would God do that? And he said, to prove and to show that she's not like Eve. So God's going to allow everything to come right in at your doorstep. And because you're a bride, you'll be free from it. That it won't get you. Right? To prove in this generation that you can throw everything you want at her and she'll come out clean anyway.
Right.
And so you don't really think about it that way, but when you pick up your phone and you go to media or to whatever, think about that. That Satan out there wanting to come in, wanting to influence. And anything that's contrary to the Word of God needs to be kept at distance.
Okay.
Amen. So, Paul is telling us that they don't have fellowship together, righteousness and unrighteousness. And so, when we look at all this, we realize we should be seeing this in our lives. We should be seeing something in our lives that does not desire to have fellowship with the things of the world. Something in us should be grieving at the sin that's out in the world. Something in us should be sighing and crying against the abominations done in the city. Like Ezekiel tells. Brother Ram said it repeats again in our day. I mean, he knows that. He said it repeats again in our day. That rider with the ink horn that you read about in Ezekiel, where he said to that one with a destroying weapon, and he said, "You go and you destroy all of them." But first, he said to the rider with the ink horn, he said, "You go through the city and you mark them. You put a mark on every one of those who are sighing and crying against the sins and the abominations that's done in the city." Right. And the rider with the ink horn went and marked them. He went and sealed them all. And then he said to the destroying angel, he said, "Now you go and you destroy everyone, man, woman, child, I don't care who it is. You destroy every one of them except the ones that have that mark on them." Mm-hmm. Brother Bram said, that repeats again in our day. Right? Mm-hmm. And so it can be spiritual death, just to begin with, just spiritual death. That the things that have come on this earth, the things that the lid's been lifted off of hell, and things have come out and are manifest on this earth. When Brother Ram said some of these names couldn't even be spoken till today, the things have come out now on this earth. It's the hour of temptation. It's a great hour where Satan, but it's all working in God's plan, because he's going to pull a bride right out of that whole situation where these things are the way they are. And so we can see that. And so we realize that there should be something in us that's sighing and crying against the way the world is, right? And against the sin and so forth. There should be something sighing and crying about your own flesh fighting you constantly when you try to serve God. Right? But there should be sighing and crying against the abominations that's done in the city. And I've said this before, just to kind of stress it just a little bit. He said, didn't say the abominations done out in the countryside, but those done in the city. And if you think about that, like we talked about, Jesus suffered without the gate, right? They put things out from among them that they didn't like. Things that didn't belong, their waste would go out and so forth. And so everything that was in the city was considered acceptable, because that's where we all live. That's where they all congregated, right? And so when you look at it, it said those that are sighing and crying against the abominations done where it's in the group, where it's acceptable. And so when I look at that and I bring it over into this, is that you should really be sighing and crying against the sin and the abomination, the things that's done that's not right in the church, in the midst of God's people. Because, yeah, out there in the world, they do those things, and yes, we grieve about that too. But we should really be burdened about what's within. Because, you know, Paul tells us, he said, what do we have to do with judge with them out? We're not going to judge them out there necessarily, but I'm talking about here on earth, but we do judge the church. And he tells the people, why do you go to court systems of man out there of the wicked? Can't you even judge among yourselves? You know? So he's telling us. And so there should be a fervent sighing and crying in us when we see things that's not right in the church. In other words, when we see people who are in church who consider themselves Christians, but you can see that there's something wrong in their lives, because they have abominations going on. There's things in their life that's not right. Follow me? And so there should certainly be a sighing and crying when you see that sin is still in the midst of people that we consider brothers and sisters. Right? Paul even talking about, he said, you can't, you know, to separate yourself from fornicators and all that. He said, well, you'd have to go plumb out of the world to do that. So that's not what I'm talking about. He said, because you want to have a testimony among them. But he said, when somebody's called a brother, when somebody's a brother or sister in the church, and they're acting that way, and they said, that's the one that you separate from, and so forth. Yeah. So it's not just separating from things of the world out there, but even sin that's trying to be rampant inside the church, things that's not right in the church, abominations not right in the church. Fellowship among in the world, in among the church. In other words, people in the church fellowshipping with things of the world. We should have a desire, a sighing and crying before God. God, move this from us. Keep this, get this out of your people. Because we know the Holy Spirit doesn't feed on those things. We know the Holy Spirit does not inspire someone to feed on those things. And so we should sigh and cry because we know that this is the work of the devil that's working, right? And we want to see it purged out of the church. And so we should definitely feel that way about things among believers. Because believers are to walk in victory and success and overcoming power. That's what we desire. We're all in this together. Right. We're all in this together. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We cry with those who cry. We're in this together, and we're not pointing fingers. We're just saying that we as a body, we don't want sickness in the body at all, period. Spiritual sickness, we don't like it physically. And we don't want it spiritually. And so Paul is telling us here, we don't have fellowship because we are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. God dwells in us, right? And if God dwells in us, don't you think he speaks out? Right? God doesn't want to have fellowship with unrighteousness, so if he's in us, then his influence on us will tell us not to have fellowship with unrighteousness.
Right.
It's pretty, it's not rocket science. It's pretty clear. So, we are the temple of God. He dwells in us, so we don't have to pretend and hope that he's in us. Like Brother Ram tells us, that idolaters, the people who have idols, idol worship, they create a graven image or some sort of image or idol that they believe their God looks like or represents their God somehow. They create this thing made by themselves and they begin to believe that God comes down and inhabits that thing and begins to speak to them out of that. So they worship this idol that they've created and believing that God comes down and speaks to them through that. So it's a man-made image of God, right? Idolatry. And so Brother Graham said, they believe that God will come down and speak to them. And he said, and sometimes they even think they hear voices, hear God speak out of those things. They're convinced that God has come down and that he speaks it through them. And they pack those idols wherever they go because this is my channel to God. Right? This is my connection to God. That's the way they look at those things. And so they believe and hope, but we don't have to do that. We don't have to, because like Paul said, what fellowship would the temple of God have with idols?
Right?
Because we are the temple of God. The idols, they just hope that it's a temple of God. They just hope that God's there and they'll speak to them. But we don't have to hope. We can know that we are the temple of God. And we're not idols because God really is there, and he's there because he chose to come there. Right? If God chose to come down and inhabit that piano, it wouldn't be idolatry to worship the piano because God had chose to come there. But he didn't. You understand?
Right.
And so when it's a man-made system and they think God's there, it's idolatry. But when it's something God has actually done, it's not idolatry. Right? So it's not robbery, it's not a problem for us to worship Jesus Christ because that's where God came, right? And so he tells us we are the temple of God, and I'm not telling you to worship people, you understand?
Right.
But the difference between someone who's the real temple of God and some idol, there's no fellowship there.
Right?
Right? So we don't have to just worry, we can, in hope, we know that we are the temple of God because what he does when he comes in, he changes our thinking. He changes our desires.
Right?
He changes our nature. Something that we can't do.
Yeah.
You take people who's been married together and the wife trying to change the husband or the husband trying to change the wife, and I'll ask you a question, did it work? No. You can't change somebody else and you can't change yourself, but God can change you. God can change you. Amen? So we can know that it's Him. Because He changes us, takes the desire of the things of the world out and replaces it with a desire for righteousness. You think the devil's going to do that? That's God. And so we don't have to worry, you know, what's going on. We know because God does what He says and He comes in and He changes us. And so that makes us the temple of God. And because of that, like I said, we're not idols because God's really there. Right. True living God living out through the people. So we're not idols. And we can't have fellowship with idols. And so idolatry, as I just described there, but you know, it can be idolatry to me can be just something like this. Anytime we attribute to someone or something attributes that only comes from God, it's idolatry. Yeah. Now, I'll say that again. Anytime that we attribute to someone or something attributes that only comes from God or that only God has, then it's idolatry. Mm-hmm. It used to be a song. I don't know. It came out after I gave my heart to the Lord, but used to be, they played music at work in a, I don't know, there used to be a speaker, and it'd play like in a store or something, in not where I'm at now, but in the lab before. And I they'd play this song. I heard, I don't know who sings it, all that, but I just remember the words because it kept saying it over and over, you know, like the song Pink Cadillac. That's all I know it says in there, Pink Cadillac, right? But all I remember the phrase was, how can I breathe without you? Or how can I live without you? Or something like that. Some of y'all probably know the song. I don't know. But that's only, that only belongs to God. He's the one that I would say that to. Lord, how can I breathe without you? How can I live? How can I function without you? See, but when we start to try, and I understand when you really love, like a husband really loves his wife or vice versa, I understand that love, if it's real and it's genuine, comes from God, that's an earthly example of what this great love of God is, right? And so I understand that a woman can feel like that about a man. How can my life go on without you? And when it's right and it's in righteousness, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, there are people who worship movie stars or singers or, you know, ball players and whatever. And it's okay to some degree to say, hey, you know, I like, he's a good ball player or something like that. But when people begin to enter into something greater than that, and so it can go so many different ways, and so because There's attributes that only comes from God, and we should never lift a man up higher than what he is. Yeah. And people do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. They do it. Mm-hmm. They do it. You can tell just by the amount of money they want to spend on something like that. And it doesn't have to be a person. It could be a thing. Right? Anything that we put before God makes that thing that we put before God greater than God to us. Right? That's right. And so that can be idolatry. And we are the temple of God, and we have no fellowship with idols or idolatry. We only have fellowship in the realm of the gospel, where we know that God has come down and redeemed man. And we can fellowship with someone who's redeemed. We can fellowship with another temple that God dwells in. And we can fellowship on a level that's not just on the surface. We but we can fellowship on the deep level because they are the same, right? But you can't fellowship with the world. You can't fellowship with something that's not godly. You can't fellowship with the running and the excesses of the world where they leave God out of everything. You can't do that. You know, I had guys at work sometimes, you know, they'll try to praise me. And I say, it's not me. It's God. It's just how he's blessed me and what he's given me and made me able to be. It comes from him. And so, you know, my relationship right now with my mother, my own mother, is better now than it's ever been. Her attitude toward me is better now than ever. And I just say, God, that's something you've done. From saying, you'll never amount to anything, to referring to me as her king. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But she's different now toward me. You see Mary shaking her head. That's God. Mm-hmm. He does that. He can change us. You can't change people, right? And so we can have fellowship with those things that are godly, but we cannot have fellowship with those things that are not. And so if you do that, you're masking. If you're a real believer and you start fellowshipping in things of the world, you're masking that Holy Spirit in you that lives there and wants to speak out, wants to guide, wants to fellowship with you, and cannot walk with you if you walk that way. Amen. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit. So we are the temple of God. And what the scripture said there, he dwells in us. He said, I will dwell in you, right? We read it. I will dwell in you. You know what dwell means? It's not just momentary. Dwell is to dwell. Right. So God is saying, you know, come out from among them. Be ye separate, right? We read that. Because he said, you're the temple of God because I will dwell in you. He will dwell in you. It means you can have daily fellowship with him because he's there. Always. Amen. And he says, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. I want to ask you a question. Does God need our body to walk in? Does he need us to do something? In order for him to do something, does he need us? Well, he's God. He don't have to. But if his program has limited him down to where he comes and says, I need you. I want to touch lives, and I've limited myself to do it through you. Mm-hmm. Right? I come down and I dwell in you, and I will walk in you. And so if he says, I will walk in you, that means he is going to walk in us. He is going to go places in us. He's going to touch lives through us. Right? So you understand that God has limited himself to say, I want to come down and I want to live through you. Yeah. I want to walk through you. I want to talk through you. I want to love through you. I want to guide people through you. Dry up the tears of those who are sorrowful. I want to do all these things by dwelling in you and walking in you. So God's is walking this planet in us, in his people. And you must remember that. If you know that you're a real born-again Christian, you know that something down inside you has changed, and now you have a desire for the things of righteousness, and you have a grieving in you when you see the sin and things like that, and you know that life is in there, then you remember that God's walking in you. And your life every day is an opportunity to help others. Speaking to a guy at work a couple of days ago. And you know, just people need help. People need someone that can give them a little glimmer of hope. So he tells us, you're the temple of God. He will dwell in us. He'll walk in us. And we will be his people. And so he says, wherefore, come out from among them. He's telling us, come out from among all this worldly stuff. Come out from among the things of unrighteousness, of darkness, and so forth. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And so, no matter what level you're on, you might be a newborn Christian, just a day or two old, a year old, 5 years old, or 30 years old in the Lord. You may have only been serving God for a week, or for a month, or a year, 10 years, or 30 years. But wherever you are in your walk, there's a separating that God wants you to do. There is a separating for you to do. Amen? And so he says, come out from among them. So he's telling us, you as a believer, you have a responsibility to take this Holy Spirit that he's given you and to separate yourself from the things that you know is unlike the Holy Spirit. Things that he can't use, that he doesn't fellowship with, that he doesn't feed on. We have a responsibility to separate ourselves from those things. So he says, come out from among them, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. So there's a lot of things out in the world that's unclean. Right. Amen. Not just the things you read about in the Old Testament. He says, if you do that, I will receive you. Amen. The world is dying. It's dead. You know, in the Old Testament, you defile yourself if you touch something dead or something unclean. Think about it. Those are natural type and spiritual. Right? Something is dead. And if you touch that, then you were unclean and you had to go through a cleansing process. Right? What about a dead society with mindset that's leading right to hell? And we touch that. We're defiled. Right? We're defiled. We're unclean. You know, so he's telling us, come out from those things. Separate yourself from them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And so this dying world, is everything got the death rattles in it like that, we don't want any part with it. There is a separating for us to do because we are the temple of God, and the temple of God has no fellowship with these things of the world. No idolatry. No lifting up men into some realm that they shouldn't be, chasing after somebody like they're a god. Right? We only have the fellowship of the God that lives in his people, manifesting his word in their lives, doing what he said he would do. That is our fellowship. Amen. Drinking from the same cup of God's fellowship. And so why would we want to hold on to something that's dying? Especially when it makes you unclean yourself.
Right.
And so he says, if you'll do these things, I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. And when I read of that, and I think of adoption. Right. Bible adoption. A son that's obedient comes into full authority of the Father. Amen. So that's the hour we live in. So we are the temple of God. We certainly want to keep ourselves as the temple of God. If you're in fellowship with the Lord and you do something to grieve him and you're miserable, amen? You're miserable if you've done something that the Lord is unhappy about. And I trust that you know what I'm talking about. Amen. We all make mistakes from time to time, but he's just and faithful if we confess our sins to forgive us of those things. Let's bow our hearts to you. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity. A midweek service, Lord, just a little thought there that you had given to me yesterday on this temple, your temple, Lord, that we keep it clean and keep it holy, and a place that you would be desirous to dwell there, that it would be place and you'd be happy to dwell there. I pray, Lord, that this little sermon tonight would give your people plenty to think about, Lord, and plenty to search out in their own walk so that they can just make sure that in their own ways, Lord, that they are following after you and doing everything they can to make sure that you abide within them, Lord. Lord, that is by obeying your word and embracing these things that you have given to us. We love you, Lord. We just pray that you bless each one with these things that we've spoken tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, I apologize for my voice. I never thought about this. It always does that when I get a cold. It always gets down in my chest, stays there for a long time. And I was talking to Brother Jordan's dad the other day, Brother Danny. I told him, you know, yeah, I said, it's always, you know, he heard me on the phone. Jordan was talking, and I spoke to him through it, and he said, you sounded like a robot or something like that. And I said, well, I got this stuff in my chest, and I said, it just always does that, you know that, you've been around me. And he said, you know what, Satan always did that to Brother Random too. He said that's the devil fighting against you being a preacher. And I never thought about that, but I thought, well, we have the victory though. Amen. I love you, and I love you because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on
and he purchased my salvation.